When you get to the upper levels of Scientology, the creation myth is explained to you. The story is that 75 million years ago, people lived in a world very much like the world of America in the 1950s.
People at that particular time and space were walking around in clothes which looked very remarkably like the clothes they wear this very minute. And the cars they drove looked exactly the same. And they walked down streets that looked like these streets.
It was a very similar world and similar problems, one of which was overpopulation.
They had elected a fellow by the name of Zemu to the supreme ruler.
There was a tyrannical overlord of the Galactic Confederacy named Zemu. In order to resolve this problem of overpopulation, he called people in, ostensibly for tax audits, and had them frozen with injections of glycol to their heart.
Boxed them up in boxes, threw them into space planes. DC-8 airplane is the exact copy of the space plane of that day.
They were flown to the prison planet, Tegeag. It's actually the planet Earth. And these frozen bodies were then dropped into volcanoes.
And then they set off hydrogen bombs on the top of each volcano.
And their disembodied spirits, these are called thetans, floated out, and they were captured and forced to sit in front of movie screens.
With a 3D super colossal motion picture.
They were shown images, implants, as Hubbard would have it.
Every man is shown crucified, so is the psychiatrist shown crucified. That's how he gets away with what he gets away with. He electric shocks people.
And when a child is born, a thetan will leap inside the child's body at that very instant, and it becomes like the child's soul. More than one thetan might crowd into the body, hundreds of thousands might. They're the source of all of our neuroses and fears and anxieties. Then you are on the E-meter by yourself now. You're soloing. You're supposed to scan.
Okay. Yeah. It's the Little Saigon Report, and that was a brief extract from the documentary Going Clear, which is about Scientology. That particular documentary is available. It is available, I think, on Amazon or other such places. According to Scientology, I would be a suppressive person. I would be a suppressive person. A suppressive person is a person that sabotages the great plans of the wise and intelligent leaders and rulers. The suppressive person is the person that says maybe we don't know everything. He is the negative person. And we don't want negative people. Fuck the negative people. They're suppressive. I have meditated on Scientology over the years because it is a very, very strange organization. I am not a Scientologist, full disclosure. I have never been a Scientologist. I don't even know if I ever knew any personally. I really don't. I mean, I don't think I ever knew a Seventh-day Adventist really personally. I think we had a neighbor that was one. And I've had tangential connections with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And again, I'm not saying these are cults. I'm just saying that that's as fringe as I've ever gotten. I've never touched Scientology, nor would I ever do that. What I have thought about over the years is this thing just a cult? Because it could be just a fucking cult. Throughout history, we clever monkeys have become so good at fucking with each other that we often fuck ourselves too, and I mean psychologically. We are so good at gaslighting and manipulating and confusing our fellow clever monkeys. that we kind of set ourselves up for this, if you want my true opinion. And in some ways, this is connected to that whole conversation about Puzzle Box America. Like, what is reality? Where do you get your ultimate truth? And before you make fun of the Scientologists, understand this. If you took certain segments of this documentary and you took them out of the context of Scientology, the types of things these people complain about could very well apply to government, to all forms of authority, period. All forms of illegitimate authority throughout history have used, you could call it the arena of psychology, or some call it cybernetics, because cybernetics really is the ancient art form of controlling people. I mean, it's more than just a reference to technology. It's more than just a reference to a famous work of Norbert Wiener on information theory. Cybernetics is very much the corpus of thought around how do you control people? How do you limit the person's ability to get out of the trap? There are lots of ways of looking at quote-unquote government, but one way you can think of government is a kind of trap. It really is a kind of maze you get stuck in. It sort of reminds me of that one time I went to Vegas, and it was, I think I went there a couple times, so I think it was the first time. I was at a conference, and I got lost, and I asked one of the floor managers, how do I get back to the conference? I even gave him the name of the room, and he pointed me in the direction of the casino. Yeah, the floor manager pointed me in the direction of the casino, and I got into the casino. And one of the fun things about the casino floor in Vegas, and I don't know if this is on purpose, but I'm pretty certain it is, it's kind of designed so that you can't really find the way you got in or how to get out. If you ever notice, it's not that easy to find your way out of the casino floor. Sure, I'm certain they obey all the basic legal regulations of fire hazards and whatnot. But I was in a couple casinos in Vegas, and I gotta tell you, it was very, very difficult to find your way out, to get out of the casino. And I think that Scientology, like a lot of other sort of weird mutual group control schemes, because I think there is a lot of mutuality about this. It isn't as simple as some scumbag comes along. It's more complicated. But yeah, a lot of these schemes are a lot like this. You can get in, but it's hard to get out. And part of it is convincing you that reality is different than what you believe. We can make fun of this Xenu story, okay? But when I was an atheist, I used to think of Christianity the same way. I did. I'm not saying that Scientology is a real religion. I think it is a cult. I think it's a false god type religion. But anyways, it's easy for someone who's an atheist to look at my own beliefs concerning God and say, dude, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And I accept that. I accept that. I am perfectly willing to have that conversation. It is coincidental, it is totally coincidental that Scientology's history roughly maps to the history of the post-World War II deep state. It is purely coincidental that L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, was a U.S. Navy officer who, after the war, became friends with Jack Parsons, that famous Satanist who helped to found NASA with a bunch of fucking Nazis. Yeah, so let me repeat that. It is totally coincidental that Jack Parsons knew L. Ron Hubbard, that they knew each other, that they both accidentally happened to be Satanists. And here's another thing, too. In the documentary, and this is where I'm going to be a little bit critical of this documentary, they do a really good job of talking about Christianity as a basis of comparison to Scientology. They do a really good job. And then when they talk about good old Jack Parsons, they really don't mention that he was a Satanist. Like, they don't really say that. They sort of mention that he wanted to bring about the Antichrist. But yeah, they pretty much don't mention the word Satan or devil. And they mention the word hell once. Once they mention the word hell as a basis of comparison to the weird beliefs of Scientologists, you know. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this podcast. As you know, it's still Veterans Day. Almost 4 p.m. here in Seattle. But I just wanted to say, you know, I think Scientology, if it... Gosh, I'm having a hard time describing this. I think Scientology looks like something that the CIA would have designed. If you look at their various techniques of pulling people in, controlling them, the language they use, you should read their definition of a suppressive person. It very much maps to the types of people that the FBI and the CIA are now attacking and calling conspiracy theorists. In fact, I would tell you a suppressive person and a conspiracy theorist pretty much are in the same category of definition according to these authorities. They're basically people who poo-poo, who ask too many fucking questions, you know, are there just to fucking throw their own wooden shoe into the fucking gears. Which, again, there's some truth to that, but there's more to it than just that. Anyways, next topic. If you are a before I go though, if you are a Scientologist and you feel like I've offended you, feel free to send me a nasty email. Feel free to tell me how I'm full of shit, because I gotta say, as a Christian, I am very wary of beating up on people for their strange beliefs, because as a Christian, I know that to a scientist, to a materialist, the things I believe are rather strange. I don't even remotely believe you can compare Scientology to Christianity, but I do think that you have to be careful, because I think something like Scientology is in part designed to make fun of religion. I mean, when you think about it, Scientology is one of the biggest mockeries of religion in modern history. All it does is mock the nature of religion. It reduces it to empty rituals and power schemes, manipulation, and mind control. And I'll tell you a lot of things about Highline Christian Church, and I've named it. It is my church. It is the only church I've found. The pastor there, Pastor Tim, is not into mind control. If anything, I think he tries to teach a message of Christ that frees your mind. Even if you're an atheist, if you were an atheist, I could see going to that church once a month and listening to the things he says, because, yeah, he actually gives you a message that is empowering. It is not a message of paranoia. It is not a message of, you know, be wary of the negative people. In fact, one of the great things that pastor, my pastor, said when I was first getting into the church was, you know what? Christ loves the negative people too. Oh, wow. Christ loves the suppressive people. In fact, Christ loves people who ask fucking questions. I don't think David Miscavige and the people of Scientology are the same. I think they would prefer if you did not ask questions. That's what I think. Oh, so next topic. And this is sort of related in a way, I guess. If you listen to my podcast, you're well aware that I have some darkness. I would describe my darkness as some dude sitting in a lonely dark room, sitting on a lonely dark chair, with a really lonely dark look on his or her face, but in this case it's a he. My darkness is like some dude sitting in the darkness, staring into the darkness, meditating on the nature of the infinite blackness, and then staring deeper. My darkness is a dude in a room thinking about his darkness, and thinking about whether there's a dude inside of his head, pondering the darkness as well. Anyways, that's a silly thought. I don't know why I went off on that tangent. Next topic. I guess I am a suppressive person, which means if you're a Scientologist and you're not supposed to listen to negative, dark people who question reality and might not think that we're living in a utopia, but in fact we might be living in a dystopia, if you kind of think that Scientology is a mutual mindfuck and that what's really sad is that it's a mutual mindfuck inside of a giant pirate ship mindfuck named the United States of America. Yeah, that's what I think about Scientology, folks. If the CIA did not invent it, it surprises me. If the CIA does not learn from it, which means that if they didn't in some way infiltrate and use it for MKUltra back in the 60s, I'd be very fucking surprised. A lot of the weirdness of Scientology looks exactly like MKUltra bullshit. And frankly, so does Jonestown. Good old Jim Jones. The People's Temple. The Friendly Temple of Love. People love each other at the People's Temple. Please have some Kool-Aid on us. The Kool-Aid is sugary, and it's that sugar that gives it its taste. Have some Kool-Aid on us, you fuck. So, as I've mentioned before, I don't really know what's happening with any certainty to the ecosystem of planet Earth. I don't know if we're in a natural cycle or in an unnatural cycle. Although, truly, what does unnatural mean if you're a fucking atheist? By definition, human beings are natural. If you are an atheist, if you do not believe in anything that is not material or scientific at all, then human beings are 100% natural. Which means if you're an atheist and you talk about human-caused global warming, even if you're technically correct about the causality, your general frame of reference is inherently flawed. And I'm really sorry no one told you this. Let's talk about contradictions again. Here's what you get to say. You get to say that according to your scientific outlook, human beings are causing all of this ecological bullshit. But the problem is, you don't also get to say that human beings are supernatural or exist outside of nature, because the same science that you're using to tell me that humans have fucked themselves is the same science that would tell you humans are 100% natural. We may be poisonous. We may be dangerous as fuck. We might fall into the same category as bacteria that produce poisonous cyanide gas. But we are fucking natural, if you're an atheist. If you're a Christian, you might still consider us quote-unquote natural. But we also have a soul. We have the ability to make decisions. We don't have to be trapped by our own bullshit or anyone else's bullshit. Here's another thing I'll point out, too, before we get too far down this road. And I'll say this one last fucking thing about Scientology. Look around nature. Look at intelligent creatures in nature. There's a few of them. Look at the crow. Look at the orca whale. Look at the fucking octopus. These are reasonably intelligent creatures. Do you know what they never fucking do? They never create weird cargo cults to mind fuck each other. They never do this. You can look at all the fucking prairie dogs and all the fucking wolves and all the fucking polar bears, all the fucking creatures. You can look at the tigers and their little tiger families, and you will never find them creating various mind schemes to mind fuck each other. Just a side note. So I do not know what's going on with the ecosystem with certainty. I do know this. It's getting weird. I am seeing stuff right now, and this is November, folks. Soon to be the middle of November. I am seeing shit right now that looks like spring, like March. I am seeing behaviors with birds that, and they really look confused. It's almost like the birds don't know what time of year it is. And don't even get me started on these weird insect hatches. We're getting these really strange insect hatches that would make more sense in April or May, but they don't make a whole lot of fucking sense in November. And then a friend of mine, and this is all I'll say, who lives in the southeast, you know, down south, a friend of mine said he saw colorful clouds at night. The moon was illuminating the clouds and they were like a rainbow. Now, that might have been a moonbow, if such a thing exists, but it could have also been nitrous oxide and methane, which is leaking into the upper atmosphere and giving us what are sometimes referred to as noctilucent clouds. And if you think that's a good sign, having methane and nitrous oxide bleed off into the upper atmosphere, it isn't a good sign, folks. So I don't know what's going on with the weather, folks. It's weird. This snowstorm, there was a news report about O'Hare Airport in Chicago being shut down by the snow. No one could go. That tarmac, that runway was really slippery. And yeah, you could say, well, Dan, ice is slippery. Yeah, the human race has had to work around ice for more than a minute. Those aircraft you see, the ones sliding around on the runway, yeah, they were designed by people who knew of the existence of ice. But what if the ice they designed their planes for is not the same kind of ice? What if there's a little bit extra added to it? According to Dane Wigington, there is a compound that is sometimes referred to as a surfactant that is used along with ice nucleation agents as part of chemical ice nucleation, the process of essentially forcing things like rainstorms and snowstorms, really, Also, these rapid cooldowns. These types of compounds are known as endothermic, which means in chemical terms, in chemistry terms, like that little, ice pack you get with the first aid kit, the one that you crack and it starts to get cool. That's endothermic. Endothermic reactions consume energy in the environment. They don't release any. So I don't know what's going on, folks, for certain, but if you're one of these people that wants to tell me that you know, and you're giving me another form of what I would refer to as discontinuity, like you say, Dan, it's not the fucking global warming, you're noticing the pole shift. Well, that's fine. But all that trapped organic material in the permafrost doesn't give a fuck what releases it. In fact, a pole shift would be worse. A pole shift would be catastrophically worse. We would deal with a massive release of methane from the permafrost. That would be one problem. The other problem would be all the chaos and all the reactors starting to go critical, because they're going to go critical, because you need a certain level of a competent society to keep boiling water reactors and pressurized steam reactors from going critical. You need deliveries. You need outside electrical generation. You need people to show up for fucking work, and they have to know what the fuck they're doing. All of those things are not as reliable when shit breaks down. So, yeah, I don't care what your own pet theory of chaos is. Could be pole shift, could be Nibiru, could be that all of this is basically being engineered by the great cabal of the globalists. I have no fucking clue, but what I can tell you with a certain level of certainty is that all of these things will create chaos. And there are a lot of things in your modern world, including nuclear power plants, that don't do so well with chaos. In fact, they do quite badly. Food delivery does not work so great during times of chaos. Did anybody fucking tell you that? Did anyone tell you that food delivery isn't so efficient when shit falls apart? The same fuckers who told you it was totally rational to get your food from 10,000 miles away. The same fuckers who said you don't need to have local agriculture, you don't need to know how to make local potatoes and fucking onions. Those same motherfuckers will not ever explain to you how little food there is in the system at any given time. This is the nature of just-in-time logistics. This is the nature of our economic reality. These fuckers who told you that you should give up on local food and just go all the way to the corporate farm never told you how fucking fragile that is. Well, it's fragile as fuck, people. Anyways, next topic. So I was out for a walk last night, and I was going by the rat garden near where I live on 12th. I was walking by the rat garden on 12th Avenue. And a little, excuse me, I've got a, I was walking by the rat garden. I was walking by the rat garden on 12th Avenue near where I live. And if you want to know what the rat garden is a patch of vines and garbage and other scumbiae and glumbuli and crapola right next to where I live. I think there's probably 100, maybe 200 rats living in the vicinity. That's my rough guess. If you research this stuff, you can come up with a better guess. It could be as low as 50. But last night, one of these little fuckers from the rat garden darted out into the street in front of me. It was almost like the little baby rat was part of a bigger plan to trip somebody. Like, oh, if we can just trip one of these people. Because there's another funny thing I've noticed about the birds. And I know, oh, wait, rats, the birds, that's a non sequitur. The birds look like they're getting hungry. Like, the behavior of the crows on Broadway, really aggressive, really looking for food. It kind of looks like the food situation for some of these urban creatures isn't so fucking great right now. Just an FYI. So yeah, I think the baby rat was part of a test plan, you know, to see if they can cause a human to trip. Because if you trip and fall right there next to the rat garden, I think there's a pretty good fucking chance you end up dead. And the thing is about rats are a lot like communists, or bankers, or lawyers. Rats, onesie-twosie, they're no big deal. Like, I can deal with a communist, or a lawyer, or a fucking banker onesie-twosie. But when they come at you in mobs, that's when they get dangerous as fuck. Especially the fucking communists. But the bottom line is this. I think the rats are getting hungry, and I think they're waiting for some little co-ed on their way to Seattle University to listen to the fucking Jesuits. I think they're waiting for that young co-ed to trip and fall so that they can jump out of the garden and take the protein that they need. Next topic. This hour of the Little Saigon Report is brought to you by Kyle's Street Protein of Little Saigon. Are you currently working on a keto-type diet plan? Are you one of these folks that wants to make sure that you up your protein intake, your protein consumption, while reducing those nasty carbohydrates? Well, if you're into keto, you need to come to Kyle's Street Protein of Little Saigon. Kyle's Street Protein of Little Saigon has been in business since 2005. They have always sought the highest quality street protein. They studied the ancient teachings of the Roman generals. Every Roman general knew that street protein was the key to victory. At Kyle's Street Protein, they put forth the effort to discover all the special oils, greases, and compounds which collect on the street. If you're wondering what to do with your keto diet, if you have plateaued with the chicken and the pig and the cow and all of the fishy fish, if you're currently keto and you're looking for something new, maybe even something delicious, Kyle's Street Protein is 100% natural. In the sense that what he finds, what he discovers, what he collects, occurred in the physical realm of existence. Kyle promises no supernatural proteins, no angel viscera, no hobgoblin semen, only 100% gumbus collected from those nasty-ass streets of Little Saigon. So if you're wondering what to do with that extra money you're making, all that extra cash you have in your pocket because of all that minimum wage bullshit, now you must be doing really good. That's what the Democrats say. If you need to do something with that extra money, go on down to Kyle's Street Protein of Little Saigon. This Friday, they got a special on jugs of protein and what they call the Mystery Meat Package, which is currently being sued by Ron Jeremy for trademark infringement. But they serve Mystery Meat no matter what, and even Ron Jeremy likes it. He says it helps to keep him active in his old age. Is Ron Jeremy still alive? Yeah. I don't know, folks, but if you're keto and you want some protein, go to Kyle's. Kyle knows. Kyle's known since 2005. The secret to longevity and the keto diet, and that is the fresh, collected oils and greases, viscera, dried blood and cum. He knows that that's the best street protein. Any rats or small dogs, any dead cats, that's all just extra protein. If some hooker falls in the vat, well, that's just some extra protein. Come by Kyle's. I have a crazy-ass theory for you. Next topic. Here's my crazy-ass theory. And before I go any further, I need to apologize for this evening's podcast, or I should say this late afternoon. It gets dark as fuck here in Seattle around 4:30, just FYI. I have a terrible apology to make. This has been a crappy podcast. And I will admit to this. Sometimes I'm off my game. This morning I did a podcast on Veterans Day. Kind of set me off a little. But here's a weird question for all you folks out there. Here's a really interesting kind of question. Here's a weird theory about human health, and I'm going to throw it on the table because this should be filed under Why Am I Not Dead? Now, I've told you about my Chevron diet plan. I've told you about Kyle's street protein. Yeah, that's good. You can think I'm joking in some gonzo way. Have you had street protein? Until you have, don't mock it. What if one of the things that leads to sickness, in fact, what if the principal cause of sickness, especially when you connect it to all the fucking bullshit that the quote-unquote healthcare professionals feed you? What if the main cause of illness is thinking about it? Now, I want you to meditate on this, folks, because I think I should be dead. Like, when I consider the stuff I put into my body, the Chevron diet, the protein, the diet of mainly beer and a few other things, when I think about all that, I should be dead. I'm not doing anything particularly special to enhance my life right now. And one could argue I'm doing a lot of shit to increase the probability that I won't be around much longer. So why am I not dead? And here's a theory, and it's not necessarily a good theory. In fact, I think it's half-baked, literally and figuratively. I've known people in my life that will never miss a checkup. If they need an annual checkup, they are there. They must have their fucking checkup. They must have their eyes checked, their butt checked, their blood checked, their sugar levels. I've known people like that. And here's my general conclusion. Completely pulled out of my ass based upon anecdotal experience. The more you see the doctor, the sicker you get. The more you go to the hospital, the sicker you get. The more you think about whether or not you're sick, the sicker you get. In fact, every time you focus on that ache or that pain and wonder, is that going to be a problem? Maybe you get sicker. Now, I'm not claiming this is a theory of health or anything like that. In fact, I'm not even claiming it's that original. I think a lot of people have studied the quote-unquote mind-body problem with respect to health for a very long time. One of the classic examples of the mind-body problem, which to this day, in my opinion, does not have a very good explanation, the placebo effect. Now, what is the placebo effect? Well, if you don't know what a placebo is some type of a pill or some sort of a treatment that does nothing. Essentially, the doctor gives you something, a pill or an injection or something, and you think it's going to do something, but in reality, it's completely inert. It does nothing. And one of the things that they've learned over the years is that in a lot of cases, in fact, in many cases, placebos actually work. They shouldn't work. They're not designed to work. But there is a statistically significant relationship, which means the placebo effect is a real thing. People take the drug thinking it's going to help them. And then all of a sudden, magico cablagico, they're better. And then they think allopathic medicine, and then they go on a little speaking tour for a major pharma company. But what if you just stop thinking about it? I know that's crazy, Dan. It's like the whole colonoscopy thing. What if there are some things we're never supposed to fucking see? What if there are parts of our body that are really the ancient vistas of monstrosities of a demonic past? What if we looked inside of our colon and we didn't see anything but a cave of madness? What if you looked inside your colon and you saw the reverse negative image of your own broken self? These are all hypotheticals, but here's the deal, folks. What if you never got the fucking colonoscopy? What if you never went to see the doctor? What if you never got that exam? I'm going to tell you guys something else too here, and some of you may not believe this, but it's basically true. Everybody gets cancer. Every single person you meet on the street gets cancer. Cancer, as a phenomena, has been around forever. The fact that we have a lot of it today that kills people, that's the thing that's interesting. The cancer itself is not interesting. You have trillions of cells. There is something called the Poisson curve. Even if you weren't a fucking biologist and all you understood was the Poisson curve, you would know a couple of things. Number one, given enough complexity, given enough time, everything goes to shit. I just told you the story of cancer. Cancer can also be called runaway tissue disorder. For every fucking tissue in your body, for every system you have, there's at least one or more cancers. Liver cancer, pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, these are all tissues in which some of the cells begin to divide at an uncontrollable rate. They cease to be regulated by the body, so that even though technically they might still be breast cancer cells, lung cells, liver cells, brain cells, they don't work like that. They don't participate. In fact, you could argue that these cells are suppressive personalities in the context of the human body. Everybody gets cancer. The thing is, though, if you have a healthy immune system, cancer never gets very big. And maybe if you're a little sick, like if your immune system is under attack, and you got a CT scan, you might see a tumor. Something might show up, and it might even be malignant. And still, technically speaking, if you'd never gotten that scan, if you've never gotten that scan, if you'd never gotten the biopsy, if you'd never gone to see the fucking doctor because you had a little ache or a little pain, and if your immune system works, that tumor would have been destroyed. I once had a conversation with an oncologist about this. I said, dude, maybe I'm stupid, but why don't we give people full body scans, like once every 5 years? And he looked at me and said, dude, if we did that, we would have a shitload of false positives. Which is to say that we would see tumors and we would test them and they would in fact be cancerous. But what we didn't know is if we'd seen nothing, done nothing, that person's immune system would have eventually killed the cancer. See, these subjects aren't quite as simple as the big pharma commercials will lead you to believe. Okay? If you ask me, there's a couple things about cancer. Number one, it is a sibling disorder. It is a sibling disorder with autoimmune. It is a immune system disorder, which means it has almost nothing to do with the fucking tumors. The tumors are very much the problem in terms of the symptom, but they're not the cause. The cause is that your immune system is broke as fuck. And here's what's even worse. All the treatments they give you to kill the cancer, to destroy it, there is zero evidence to show that chemo, radiation, or surgery does anything other than, on top of helping you with that tumor, completely ravage your immune system. Surgery ravages your immune system. It is a very destructive process. It takes months for your immune system to recover from surgery. So yeah, and that includes any type of stabbing or puncture. If you get stabbed, your immune system has a problem, and it has to work it out. So that's the thing. The radiation and the chemo are just as helpful. Now, I know that immunotherapies and the immunological perspective is in fact becoming more popular in the world of oncology. And although I don't like to say good things about healthcare, I will say that's a good sign. But what I'm telling you right now is back up away from all this fucking bullshit and ask yourself this one goddamn question. Is it possible that the human body is designed for self-repair? Which means that, is it possible that if you were healthy, if you were fit, if your diet wasn't total crap, is it possible that you really don't need a lot of health care other than emergencies, right? You get hit by a car, you break an arm, some type of catastrophic event. But other than that, what if most of the healthcare is kind of a scam, kind of a mind game, and might actually hurt you? Like, here's part of my message here on this subject, and this is what I want to leave you with before I go to the next topic. What if our obsession with health is actually killing us? What if our obsession with living forever is guaranteed that our life expectancies are going to go down? What if all this fucking faith in the medical industrial complex is heavily misplaced? It is not properly placed faith. These institutions care about themselves. They care about the bottom line. They care about keeping their doctors and their nurses happy. But you might be the last fucking priority from their perspective. Next topic. But before I go, like I said, folks, if you think about it, if you obsess about it, you might manifest it. So, there is a sign at 23rd and Yesler in Seattle, Washington, that is read the following date time for a few months now. June the 23rd, 2019, 11:40 a.m. It has been June the 23rd, 2019, 11:40 a.m., pretty much since, you know, June. And it's November now. So if you catch the Metro bus up by 23rd and Yesler, heading on the 48, going, I think, north on 23rd, if you catch that bus, you'll see that street sign. And it is stuck there. Now, why do I mention this? Because, as I've mentioned in the past, folks, there's a lot of misplaced faith in, generally speaking, modernity. And when I say modernity, I don't want to get into distinctions of the modern and the postmodern. When I say modernity, let me be very specific. It is the hyper-abstraction of everyday fucking life to the point that people forget where life comes from. That is modernity. We have been so abstracted by nature that we don't even know that nature still exists. This is a problem, people. Whatever you think about what's going on with nature right now, you need it to survive. You need clean water and food that isn't poisonous. I mean, it's just one sign, right? One sign. It's a sign that has been reading the same date and time for several months now, for more than a minute. The fact that we can all stand around like that and just not give a shit totally is endemic and descriptive of the state of America pirate ship America. And I'll add something else, too, for those of you who've read a little Ayn Rand. If you can recall how Atlas Shrugged starts, and I mean the novel, not the movie, you know that fucking calendar that stays fixed on that same date in September? That's what this shit reminds me of, folks. In fact, the next topic is going to be along those lines, and that'll be the last topic. Yeah, in Atlas Shrugged, in the first chapter of Atlas Shrugged, one of the main characters is, I think, riding on a streetcar, and he looks up and he sees the fucking calendar for the city fixed. Same date, so in the same date for months, if not years, I think, according to the storyline. That's what I was thinking about when I saw June 23rd yesterday, 11:40 a.m., when it was none of the above. Last topic, folks, last topic. Get on the fucking streetcar named Desire. For the last fucking topic of the evening. Yesterday, as I said, I went to Uncle Ike's. That's when I encountered the tiny rat, the one that was trying to trip me up and potentially get a meal for his family. And on my way back from Uncle Ike's, I was riding the number 3, I think, or the number 4. And there was an incident near 20th and Jefferson. And when I say incident, it began rather slowly, like a couple cop cars and a few cones. And then there were a couple ambulances and about 5 more cop cars, what looked to be a tactical team, which means SWAT. All of this happening over the course of about 10 minutes. As our bus driver was frozen there, he could have taken a right, but he was too afraid. And yeah, he did not look like he was born in the USA. And you say, Dan, is that racist? No. Here's my fucking point. It looks like he came from a society where obeying authority is how you stay alive. So this guy wasn't going to do anything. Even though he was blocking a major transit route near an emergency. Let me repeat that. This is a fucking metro bus that isn't moving right along an avenue of approach for you military folks near a tactical situation in a fucking city. I can't think of any standard operating procedure that would tell a fucking bus driver to park your fucking bus right there on the edge of the incident and just wait, frozen-like. See, this isn't about race, folks. This isn't about ethnicity. A lot of people coming to our country, and this includes a lot of good white people coming from good white places, a lot of these people come from societies where there's really no sense of individual action. So, if shit hits the fan, if crap goes sideways, they simply sit there and wait. Not unlike the Red Army officers on June the 22nd, 1941, as the Germans were invading, they didn't know what to do. They called and said, can we unlock the ammunition holding facility? Can we hand out guns and ammo? As the German tanks roll towards us? And remember, these are officers and soldiers that had experienced, if, you know, only vicariously, the great officer purge of the 1930s in the Red Army and in the Soviet military. They knew what happened when you took initiative, so they didn't. In the novel Atlas Shrugged, there is one point where a train gets stuck in a tunnel. It is an old-timey train, because in the story of Atlas Shrugged, technology starts to go backwards in a way. People kind of get collectivist and stupid, And all the crony Keynesian bullshit leads to a lot of fucking incompetence. And one outcome is that they had to use an old-timey coal train, whatever, coal engine, to pull the train. Well, the problem is the train gets stuck in a tunnel. The old-timey engine is belching out carbon monoxide and other things. And everybody on the fucking train is assuming that the engineer knows what they're doing. And if you're wondering if this is a metaphor or an allegory for government and people's relationship to it, it is, and it's not mine, it's Ayn Rand's. If Ayn Rand had been on that bus yesterday, I'm sure she would have, I would have seen a smile on her face, because she would have understood, she would have clearly realized what was going on. The person driving the bus wasn't meant to think for his or herself. The person driving the bus wasn't meant to solve a fucking problem. The person driving the bus was just doing a stupid fucking job. That's all. And there's zero chance that that person was going to veer outside the lines, so to speak, even if that meant putting people's lives at risk. Now, in the novel Atlas Shrugged, all the people on the train die. They suffocate. They probably could have gotten out of the train, walked towards the end of the tunnel, and escaped their doom. They probably could have done that, but instead they all waited around hoping and praying that the magical fucking crocodile, somebody, would come and save them. I don't know what to tell you, folks. I know some of you out there feel I'm too harsh on our public servants, and maybe that's true, but given that I'm an anarchist, I think you should understand why. And as far as this bus driver goes, listen, I talked to him. He was simply scared. He could have taken a right. I could have driven that bus around the block. I could have done that. If I could have done that, he could have done that. He could have simply taken a right, driven around the block, gotten out of a tactical scene where it looked like some real shit might be ready to break loose, and in the process, actually did his job to protect his passengers. But instead, that bus driver just sat there frozen. And if you think this is a special case, like, well, Dan, that's just one fucking bus driver, it's not, folks. And it's not just the bus drivers. Yeah, maybe I am a suppressive person. Maybe I'm telling you a story that your religion says should not be told. And if that's true, you shouldn't fucking listen to me. You should listen to your God. Your God will tell you what the truth is, right? Your God will explain to you reality and will convince you that up is down. Don't listen to me. But if you are listening to me, let me tell you something straight up, folks. I got no dog in the hunt. I don't care if this bullshit reality continues another 100 years, because I'll be dead long before that century's out. I don't give a shit if it ends in a couple years. I have no connection to this set of affairs. In fact, you know, when you talk about detachment, you know how Buddhists love that word? Detachment. I am extraordinarily detached from this paradigm. I don't care if it dies tomorrow. Now, I am certain there'll be chaos, because that's what happens when paradigms shift, but I'm not attached to it. But what I would suggest to everybody is consider the possibility that the thing that is maybe most threatening, the thing that might destroy us, really, it could be the thing that does destroy us, isn't the weather, isn't the poisons, it isn't Monsanto or even the fucking military. The thing that might destroy us, folks, is incompetence. A general level of people not able to solve problems. Like the bus driver dude. Unable to make a fucking decision. Like people who are trapped in the medical, in my view, the healthcare medical scam. Okay, they can't see outside of the next pill. They can't see that if the doctor gives them two pills tomorrow, well, you're on one med today, you're on two medications tomorrow, five next year. What do you think that does to your liver? And oh, by the fucking way, as a person who's probably drinking a little bit too much these days, you need your liver. It is not a negotiable organ. You don't have two of them like your kidney. You need it. What do you think being on several medications does to your liver? I'm going to let you in a little secret. Nothing good. So on this Monday, Veterans Day, 11/11/2019, I would not worry about the rats in the rat garden. I wouldn't worry about getting your glumbus protein from Kyle. I wouldn't worry about the noctilucent clouds or the outgassings or the possibility that we are in Venus syndrome. I wouldn't worry about the Iranians enriching their fucking uranium past a certain point, what the fuck. I wouldn't even worry about the Israelis or ISIS or the CIA. I'm not saying those aren't things to think about, but just pretend that they're not your biggest fucking problem. On this Monday, November 11th, 2019, your number one threat might be the fact that most of the people you know, if not everybody you know, at every level of control in our society, most of the people you know who are in charge, making the important fucking decisions, they are incompetent. That's your happy thought from a suppressive person on this fucking day.